Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we welcome the news last night, Baruch Hashem, of the successful rescue of two of the hostages. May the rest be soon to follow. We are up to Perek Chaf Aleph, Chapter 21, the cities of the Levium. So a little bit about the cities of the Levium before we see the text in Yehoshua. The mitzvah of designating these cities is found twice in the Chumash, once in Sefer Bamidbar in Parshas Maaseh, and then the other in Sefer Vayikra in Parshas Bahar. It is codified as two mitzvos. According to the Sefer HaChinuch, these are the mitzvos of establishing such cities. That's mitzvah Tavches, number 408. And the mitzvah of not changing or rezoning them, mitzvah Shin Mem Beis, number 342. We'll talk more about the zoning bit in a moment. According to Abarbanel, and we already saw this regarding the cities of Shechem and Hebron, the Levium actually receive a core city, but the surrounding fields and spaces belong to whatever shevet, whatever tribe the Levium are in with that city. The Sefer HaChinuch identifies the benefit of placing the Levium all around the country, separate from the point that we talked about in Chapter 20 about why we put the accidental murderer with the Levium. Why are the Levium scattered around the country? So one approach to it is that it's simply about taking care of the Levium. The Sefer HaChinuch says this in Mitzvah 408. He says the Levium are the best of the Shvatim. They're serving Hashem, and they have no portion in the fields, they have no portion in the vineyards, but they need a place to live, so we're going to take care of them by putting them among our Shvatim, among our tribes. That's one approach. Second approach, also in the Sefer HaChinuch, but in Mitzvah Shin Mem Beis, number 342, is that it's about the Jews learning from the Levium. You place the Levium all around the Shvatim, all around the tribes, and they can fulfill one of their missions. In Parshas Vezoseh Bracha, we were told, Yoru Mishpatech li Yaakov v'sarascha li Yisrael. They teach Torah to Yaakov and Yisrael. So this way, everyone will be engaged with them and will have an opportunity to learn from them. So that's another benefit. Of course, the third reason is not as positive as the first two, and that is when Yaakov gave his brachos to the Shvatim, when he blessed his kids, he said about Shimon and Levi, who had been violent, Achal kem bi Yaakov, afitzem bi Yisrael, I'm going to divide them up among Yaakov, I'm going to scatter them among Yisrael. We talked about that already with Shimon. So Levi is being scattered also. So that would seem to be a negative, but maybe it could have been a negative and a destructive thing, but because Levi redeemed themselves and improved, therefore it actually became a bracha, it became a positive. That may be a way to understand that. Interestingly, these cities were guaranteed aesthetic zoning. The Torah describes this with some length in Parshas Maaseh, in Parshas Bahar and Parshas Maaseh. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains that the goal here is to make these cities the pride of the Jewish people. This isn't just, okay, fine, Levium can live here, but these places should be beautiful, and that's great when we elevate the lot of these Levium. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch makes a comment regarding this zoning that's fascinating and really could apply to a broader environmentalist instinct. He says, this law is specifically because these were given to them for eternal generations. Therefore, no generation may alter this at will. The current generation is not the sole authority, but future generations are equal in their rights. Just as they received it from their predecessors, so they should leave it for those who will come after them. So he says this issue of not altering the zoning is because who are you to alter it? Future generations have a right to these beautiful cities also. Something worth thinking about. One last note regarding the zoning of the cities. The Rambam actually rules that part of the zoning rules is that you're not allowed to convert agricultural areas and open spaces into other uses. And the Rambam rules, Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Hey, he says that actually applies b'sha'ar Ari Yisrael. It also applies to all Israeli cities. And that's based on a Gemara in Erech and Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Okay. So this chapter, like the previous one about the cities of refuge, sounds like a technical, clerical piece, like, okay, fine, let's take care of distributing the land on behalf of the Levium. But the message for this nation that is now living in the land is also, I think, a philosophical point. Going back to one of the reasons we gave for why the Levium are getting these cities in each tribe, it's teaching us the Levium are not meant to be cloistered as monks in some kind of a Beis HaMikdash compound. They're meant to be throughout the land among the people, engaged with the people, and so we're going to play up their distribution among the Shvatim, among the tribes. Okay, so let's take a look at the chapter. We start out, Parakhaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 21, sentence 1. Just need to turn to the right page. I was in Shoftim, where chapter 121 begins quite differently. Okay. Vayigshu Rashi Avos HaLeviyim El Elazar HaKohen Vel Yeshua Ben Nun Vel Rashi Avos HaMatos Livnei Yisrael. The leaders of the families of Levi go to Elazar Kohen Gadol and Yeshua Ben Nun and the heads of the tribes. That wording may ring in your ears from Tzlavcha, the daughters of Tzlavcha, because the language actually is very similar from their approach to the leadership. Vayedabru aleihem b'Shiloh, and they talked to them in Shiloh, right, where the Mishkan was, be'eretz Kenan, le'mor. Why we say Shiloh and Eretz Kenan is actually an interesting topic, because that's not only here. We find that elsewhere as well, a little bit beyond the scope of what we're going to get to this morning. But in any case, they told them in Shiloh, in the land of Kenan, le'mor, Hashem tziva biyad Moshe laseis lanu arim lashaves. Hashem instructed via Moshe to give us cities in which to dwell, umigrishayhem livehem tenu, and open areas outside the cities for our animals. So it's time for us to receive them. Why is this only happening now? Why didn't this happen in the beginning? So we already noted back in chapter 13 the comment that Abarbanel made that Levium are like the Aron that they carry. They don't get cities until the Aron has a place to be. We put the Aron in Shiloh, so now it's the time for the Levium to receive their portion. Then we get the actual distribution and the layout of where the Levium are going to live by family. And it's essentially four cities per Shevet, per tribe, will be contributed to the Levium. It doesn't work out precisely, as we'll see in a moment, but basically each tribe is giving four cities. Vayitnu b'nei Yisrael ha-Levium yinachlasam el pi Hashem, es he'orim ha'elev es migrishehen. The Jews gave the Levium from their portions at the word of God, these cities and their areas, their open spaces. That's part, again, part of the zoning that the Torah describes for them. Vayetzei ha'goral le'mishpachos ha'kehasi. So kehas is the first one to be listed. Vayihi livnei Aaron ha'kohem and halav. I guess we should take a second to explain. Levi has three sons, Gershon, Kehas, and Merari. Okay, Gershon, Kehas, and Merari. Each of those families had different duties when it came to carrying the Mishkan through the wilderness. We're going to talk more about that in a bit. But Kehas has four sons, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. And of course, Amram has Miriam, Aaron, Moshe. So the Kohanim are a subset of the family of Kehas. So first we get to the distribution of cities to Kehas, and we specify Aharon's kids, in other words, the Kohanim first. Vayihi livnei Aharon haKohen min haLeviim imatei Yehuda umimatei haShimoni umimatei Binyamin baGorol arim shlosh esrei. So they are going to receive 13 cities from Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin. So basically, it's the south, right? Yehuda and Shimon, and Binyamin, who is just north of Yehuda. That's your initial portion that's going to be distributed. Then the rest of Kehas. Livnei Kehas Hanosirim Imi Mishpachos Matei Ephraim Umi Matei Dan Umi Chatzi Matei Menashe Bagorol Arim Aser. 10 cities are going to Kehas, and they are coming from Ephraim and Dan, which are kind of central in Israel, just north of Binyamin, as well as the half of Menashe that's west of the Yarden. So that area, that region of the country as well. V'livnei gerishom, we're in Pasuk Vav, sentence 6. V'livnei gerishom mi'mishpachos matei Yisachar u'matei Asher u'matei Naftali u'mechatzi matei Menashe v'abashan bagorol arim shloshesre. 13 cities go to Gerishon, and these cities are up north. So it's Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, as well as the half of Menashe that's up north on the eastern side of the Yarden. That's where they go. And then finally, Livnei Merari, Merari, the last of the families, Lemishpechosam, by their families, Mimatei Reuven, Mimatei Gad, so they get the rest of the land east of the Yarden, Reuven and Gad, Umimatei Zivulun, as well as Zivulun, over close to the Mediterranean, Arim Shtemesre, 12 cities. So it's interesting the way they're all placed regionally. Well, first of all, just in terms of the cities that are given out, so commentators note that we're going to see Yehuda give 8 cities, while Shimon is only going to give 1 city. Their combined total will end up being 9 for 2 Shvatim, which is around the average of 4 per tribe. But it makes sense, given the size discrepancy between Yehuda and Shimon. Yehuda is much larger, has many, many more cities, so they're going to give 8. Shimon is only going to give 1. Okay. Abarbanel notes, though, that as a general principle, it's 4 per tribe, regardless of the size of the tribe. And he says that's because it was balanced out by quality of land. So those tribes which were smaller balanced out what they were offering. They're giving 4 cities like others, but maybe they wouldn't give cities of as high a quality as the other tribes, Abarbanel suggests. But in terms of the layout of where the families of the Kohanim are going, so the Malbim says Aharon, the Kohanim, are closest to Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash, Yehuda, Shimon, Binyamin. It also happens to be where the Mishkan and Shiloh is right now. The family of Kehas, in the Midbar, in the wilderness, they carried the holiest parts of the Mishkan. So they are also close to Yerushalayim, close to the Mishkan in Ephraim, Dan, and the western half of Menashe. They're central, just north of Binyamin. Gershon, in the Midbar, had carried the Arios, the roof of the Mishkan. So they go up north, right? The Yisachar, Asher, and the eastern half of Menashe. And then Merari, who carried the boards, the walls of the Mishkan, gets the remaining, gets Reuven and Gad outside of Israel, and Zevulun in the northwest. So tomorrow, God willing, we're going to wrap the chapter by seeing which cities in particular are given. Some of them are familiar to us. And the end of the settling of the land, the distribution of the land, which will be followed by Reuven and Gad and half of Menashe heading back east of the Yarden.